Isaiah 6:8, it says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. I'll be the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness." How about all of you this morning? Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
To the assembly of the Church of Christ Jesus, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, commencing at verse 3. A voice is calling, "Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, Call out. Then he answered, What shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily. O Jerusalem, bearer of good news, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, Here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. A voice was calling. John the Baptist was calling initially, as God ordained him in his day, proclaiming the coming of Jesus Christ in the earth. He had arrived. As we are reminded in the New Testament book of John, where he declared, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As Isaiah the prophet said, now dare we ask ourselves today, is it now our voice calling out? Is our voice willing to call out every day as led by God's Spirit that has been poured out upon each of us as we anticipate the coming day of the Lord, the inevitable return of Jesus Christ pursuant to the word? Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Behold your God. Behold your God. Let us walk Christ in our own life as an example to an unsaved world. And let us cry out through that example a better way, the only way to the Father, to eternal life with the Godhead. And let us declare, prepare the way of the Lord. Please join me now. And we praise and worship our God and welcome him into our very midst. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We welcome you, and worthy are you to be praised.
Good morning, church. When we praise and worship the Lord, what do? We lift off a sacrifice to him, a sweet aroma going to the throne room. And believe me, he receives it. And helps us as we journey in whatever the Lord's calling us to do. Talk a little bit about the shofar. It's to raise an alarm. We talk about it in Scripture, and I'll talk about it a little later when the word comes forth. It's a remembrance unto the Lord, but it's also, it blows an alarm. And I believe it breaks strongholds because the Lord comes in and he remembers his people. And it's in Scripture and Old Testament, and we'll talk about that a little bit down the road. So we're not just doing this to look good. We're doing it for a purpose. We're sounding an alarm about what's going on in this hour. There's things going on in the earth, as you know. You can see it. Turn on the news this morning, you can see all sorts of things going on. But the church is not moved by it, because we're the light in this hour. But we do need to raise or sound an alarm, because there's many that aren't saved yet. And so we have to understand that what we do, we want to praise and worship our Lord. We want to receive from Him. We want to go up when we blow the shofar for a remembrance that He would remember us as He sends us out into the mission field to do the work of the Lord. So that's why we do that.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to the Lord's house. My name is Terry. Some of you may have seen me here before. I'm Wayne's sister, his older sister, by about a year, and he so often likes to remind me of that, so I always appreciate that. and we always like to come when Wayne is giving the message, and it's just an awesome experience for us when we're here. I'm not here for that today, though, so why am I standing here in front of you today? Well, I'm here today to give my personal testimony about hearing God's voice in my own life. Now, as I give my testimony, I just have a few questions I want you to think about. You don't have to answer these questions or raise your hand. Just ponder them in your heart as I give my testimony. Now, the first question is, have you ever heard God's voice speaking to you? So that's the first thing you want to think about. Do we have to use our ears to hear God's voice? Question 3, can deaf people hear God's voice? And question 4, is reading the Bible hearing God's voice? So this is my testimony, and I want you to consider those questions as I proclaim to you when I heard God's voice in my life. It was May of 2018, and I had scheduled my regular yearly mammogram. There was no history of breast cancer on either side of my family, so breast cancer was never really anything I worried about or even considered. During this same time, I was also planning my only daughter's wedding, which would be that following September. On Thursday night, the night before my mammogram, my husband and I had gone off to bed, but on this particular night, I was having a lot of trouble trying to get to sleep, and I would soon realize that it was God who would not allow me to sleep that night. He got me up, out of my bed, and had me walk down the hallway into my kitchen. As I was standing in my kitchen, I literally asked God out loud, and I can remember this, "Okay, God, you got me here, now what? What am I doing standing in my dark kitchen in the middle of the night?" The question I asked God was really a rhetorical question, and I wasn't expecting that God would answer me, but surprise, surprise, He did. God immediately spoke to me. He had things to show me and things to tell me, a lot of things. And some of the things He was about to tell me, I wouldn't want to hear. Now, it's important for you to know that what happened next was not something that I did. It was something God did. God took my hand and placed it under the strap of my nightgown and put my fingers directly down on top of a lump. You couldn't see the lump. I had no pain there. And in fact, I had no idea the lump was even there. I didn't think about putting my hand under my nightgown or examining my breast. I wasn't even thinking about my mammogram. And I knew with 100% certainty that it was God's hand that had moved mine. God immediately told me that the lump was cancer, and He needed to show it to me so I could tell the technician who was doing my mammogram the following morning that the lump was there. You see, the location of the lump would make it impossible to see on a regular mammogram. And if the technician would have done a regular mammogram the next morning, the radiologist wouldn't see the lump, and he would have told me I was fine and would have sent me on my way. I would have waited another full year to have my next mammogram. And because this cancer was fast-moving and aggressive, I would have been in serious trouble. The technician doing my mammogram would need to do a diagnostic mammogram and an ultrasound to be able to detect the lump that God had shown me. So God showed me the lump. He told me why he needed to show me. And then he told me, yes, it is cancer. Now, what God said to me next was the most profound thing he would tell me through this whole cancer journey. God said, Terry, this is cancer, but it's not about cancer. And I want to say it again. It's so important. He said, Terry, this is cancer, but it's not about cancer. I didn't need to use my ears to hear God. He was communicating with me in a supernatural way that can't be explained with human words or heard with human ears. God wasn't speaking to my ears. He was speaking to my mind, my heart, and my soul. Then God told me what he was going to do and what I was going to do. God said he was going to allow me to go on this cancer journey. Yes, even though I was planning my daughter's upcoming wedding, and believe me, we did have words about that. He was going to walk with me on this journey, and he was going to lift me up above the cancer, and when he did, I would point to him and say, God is good. So there was no question about what God was going to do, and there was no question about what I was going to do. So through three surgeries, through chemo, through radiation, through losing all my hair, which thankfully is starting to grow back, through rehab, through over a year of cancer treatments and awful side effects, through it all, God was going to lift me up above the cancer. And when he did, I was going to point to God and say, God is good. Now, that may sound a little crazy to some people, right? Especially those who don't know God. How could I point to God and say he was good, knowing everything I was going to have to endure because of this cancer? How would it be possible for me to do that? How he told me this cancer wasn't about cancer. It wasn't even about me. It was about so much more than that. It was about him. God would do the heavy lifting, not me. All I had to do was point. God showed me how he would use this horrible illness called cancer for his purpose and plan and for his glory. God would use this cancer to help my family and friends grow stronger in their faith. He would use it to help total strangers, people I didn't even know, draw closer to him. He would use it to proclaim that he is the great healer to doctors and nurses that would be treating me. Each time I would go to the cancer center, and that could be 2, 3, and even 4 times a week for over a year, God would lift me up above the cancer to point to him. You see, God knew there were people at the cancer center who needed to know him, who needed hope that he could give, who needed to hear his voice. God was allowing cancer in my life to get me in that cancer waiting room, to get me in that chemo bay, to be in that doctor's office, because the people there needed to hear his voice. Not my voice, but God's voice. Cancer was like my ticket into the cancer stadium, where God was going to hit this cancer out of the park. Imagine how amazing God is that he could use this horrible cancer to work good in my life and in the lives of all the other people he would touch, all because I had cancer. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. There were times through this cancer journey I cried out to God, asking why. Why me, God, and why now? When I was planning my daughter's wedding, why would he allow cancer to steal my daughter's joy? My joy, in fact. I told him he couldn't have picked a worse time. I had a wedding to plan. I didn't have time for cancer. I told God I knew better than him. And I began to feel like I couldn't hear his voice,
now when I needed it the most. You see, God was speaking to me. The problem was I was listening to other voices. The voice of fear, the voice of worry and doubt, the voice of control, my own voice, and yes, even Satan's voice. And then I heard God say, you need to stop listening to all these other voices. You need to listen to my voice. You need to be in my word. He told me his time was the perfect time, and I needed to be still and know he was God. I needed to trust him. God was asking me to trust him in a way he had never asked me before. He was asking me to trust him with my mortal life. God knew I was a woman of faith, and now, with his perfect plan and timing, he would test that faith to make it even stronger. After all, what good is a faith that isn't tested? It's not a very strong faith, is it? So he was saying, he was asking, would I trust him not only in the best of times, but in the worst of times as well? Now that would be a strong faith. God was asking me to put my faith where my mouth was. Then God asked me the big question, the white elephant in the room, the one I didn't want to look at or even consider. And this is what he asked. He said, Terry, what if this cancer does take your life? What then? And without hesitation, I answered, God, I would be with you, and I would be okay. You see, nothing about cancer could truly harm me, even if it took my life. God had a plan for even that, a plan that he had promised in Genesis, a plan that involved his son, a plan that promised me I was going to be okay, no matter what happened in my life. His word had taught me that. From that moment on, I determined I would only listen to God's voice, because that was the voice that would save me. And in fact, he already had in the most important way. So, I'm standing before all of you today, and I hope you're listening, God, and I am saying I had cancer, but it wasn't about cancer. And I point to God and I say, God, you are so very, very good.
Awesome testimony. Lord God, may the words this morning that flow forth from me be Holy Spirit-inspired words. Lord God, may they touch the heart of those that you have called here today. And may they equip us, Lord, for the things that you're calling us to go forth in as we leave the four walls of this church. Because the church isn't the four walls, it's rather what we do outside those four walls that we have impact. And so, Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, and I give you all honor, glory, and praise. I say it in Jesus' name, amen. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the word of the Lord today. The day of the Lord. I believe his spirit desires to release revelation on that. The day, in other words, of our returning Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His ultimate impending return, in other words. Now, I'm going to be honest because I know I have a mature body in the room this morning. And he's equipping this body, small though that we may be, but I'm telling you, it's going to grow. Lord God, I declare over this ministry that it's going to grow as we begin to bring in that fivefold anointing. And what is that, Terry? Evangelism, because I know she's got an evangelistic calling, right? Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. It's not necessarily in that order, but as he builds the church, not so we have numbers, but so that we equip the body to go out because the day of the Lord is coming. Now, they've said that centuries ago, right? They keep saying it, but I'm telling you, the day of the Lord is coming. And we have to be prepared, and we have to begin to prepare others, especially this millennial generation coming up, right? And I'm not being critical, but they grew up without knowledge many of them, of the Word. And it's you and I today that have to bring the Word forth, because if we don't, we have a lost generation. And I'll get to that. Judgment and vengeance is coming. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. On the day of the Lord, or the years, months, days leading up to it, judgment and vengeance by God is coming on the wicked, both in Israel and on all the nations pursuant to the Word, many already being fulfilled in Scripture, already being poured out, but also good news. Okay, so we got vengeance and justice, but the good news, or the great news for you and I as the believers in Christ Jesus, is deliverance and salvation for God's people. The Church of Jesus Christ, you and I, the what? Ecclesia. All things, the Word said, are going to be made what? New. For the believer of Christ, not a word today of gloom and doom. Are you going to talk about the end times? No. I'm not going to talk about gloom and doom, but we have to speak of the judgment, right? We have to speak of it and be mindful of what is to come in order for us to what? Have a prepared state, a state of readiness, right? We have to be ready. Remember, to the believer, however, there's a reward with him. And believe me, it's good. The reward's going to be good. It's awesome and beyond words. What is that reward? Terry spoke of it. We get to be with the Godhead forever. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now he's already with us, right? But I'm talking in a fuller measure, right? That's his reward. Jesus is coming back. He's the judge, and he's the judge, right? He's going to judge. He's going to bring. But he's going to look and see where his people are, and he's going to gather us up to be with him forever. And it's going to be awesome. Free from what? From pain, all sorrow, all sickness and cancers, all disease, all fear, and yes, the second death itself, right? Total separation from God, done with. As spoken today, we declare, when we declare the day of the Lord, it is the return of Christ Jesus and everything that implies, and believe me, it implies everything. It's everything, and I want to share it with everybody because I don't want anybody not to experience eternal victory, eternal salvation with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That day, in other words, of our Lord and Savior, King Jesus. Not coming back as a lamb, and you always see me wearing these, and they're not expensive rings. I'm not wearing them to show off, but it's a lion's head, and why do I wear it? Because I know the Lion of the tribe of Judah in Revelations is what? He's coming back. He ain't coming back the way he did initially, a lamb. He's coming back to execute justice and righteousness. And he's coming back for his people. So in wearing this, and I've got several, and I like to wear them because it starts up a conversation. Now I'm a chaplain, and I do that sort of stuff, but I also work in the secular world, and you can't imagine how this opens up a door of testimony, because they say, that's an awesome ring. What does it mean? And it opens up the door for me to say, well, I'm a man of God. Do you know Jesus? And then we have a conversation about it, so it's an awesome way to do it. But he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The day being characterized by judgment and vengeance, but most importantly, for those who profess Jesus, align with Jesus in their walk in the earth, follow him, hear me, follow him, and obey him, and endure with him until the very, very end, holding fast, not rejecting, not separating from him, and not following the dictates of the current world view, evil as they are. Now, I'm not going to get into it, but pick up a newspaper, get on the news. If you don't think the body of Christ is under attack, come visit me. We'll have a conversation. We are under attack. And I'm not going to give a political statement. I don't care what you believe, but your beliefs ought to line up with the Word of God if you profess to be a man or woman of God. And what I see going on in the world today is like nothing I've ever seen in my 59 years of life. Nothing. But I'm not moved by it. I'm concerned about those that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, because they're feeding into this and they're allowing themselves to get caught up and align themselves with the worldview. But I ain't of the world. Neither is King Jesus. And I know that I have to cry out in the wilderness to prepare the way for the Lord for those who are lost and dying and separated from Christ. They don't know him, and they're being misled by the ruler of the darkness, which is Satan, who's ruling and reigning in the earth today. He ain't ruling and reigning over me. I know who I am. I'm a son of the living God. I'm an heir to the throne room of God. I've been set to be a light in the world, and I'm going to go out and produce that light. And believe me, when you do, you stand in front of someone that doesn't know Christ, and they're angry, and they're being followed by Satan, there's a clashing going on. And I bet you've all experienced it. I told her the story one time where I was sitting at the DOT, standing by someone, just a little behind, like this distance. He got mad at me, said, "You're too close to me." But I know it's the Spirit. I didn't say anything. I'm not moved by that. "I'm so sorry, sir. Let me back up for you." Right? But I know who I am. And you ought to know who you are for the coming day of the Lord. Deliverance and salvation, the crown of life, life eternal with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and a world without end, a kingdom without end. And what a kingdom. It's going to be awesome. We are moving up, purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb. Free gift. Should we dare to receive it, believe it, walk it out by the leading of the Holy Spirit, a life truly devoted to the truth of Christ. And that truth will set you free. The truth will lead you to your heavenly home, even in that day of the Lord and all that comes before it. Now, I'm not going to explore, I said, the end times, nor what they may entail in detail, nor will we discuss the length of the day of the Lord, or the times leading up to the same, whether it be an instant, 24 hours, or 1,000 years, and get caught up in a theological discussion of tribulation, pre, mid, post, and the debates and religious jargon that may go along with it. We'll leave the book of Revelations for another teaching. Rather, we will hope to gain a simple understanding of the word. A very simple, and hold fast to the concept, the ultimate implication of the day of the Lord, so we are prepared to what? Hold fast now as things unfold, because it's our time to shine. The end times, and we're in the end times, whether it be another 10 years, 15 years, 100 years, I don't know, but we're in the end time, and it's our time to shine. Understand our calling now, what we need to do now, getting aligned now, and staying aligned with the living word. You have to get aligned with the living word. And I'm going to tell you what's going on in the world today, because it's happening with me. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm by myself a lots of times, right? The world's over here doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And I can tell you all sorts of crazy stuff they're doing, killing innocent babies and the whole nine yards. That doesn't line up with the Word of God. And I have to make a decision. Who am I? What do I believe? And what am I going to express to the world? I'm not moved by what the world believes. I'm moved by what my Lord and Savior tells me in Scripture, what He says is right and wrong, what He says I ought be doing, what He says I ought communicate to those around me. I don't care if I'm all alone, because I'm not. Seated right here with me is Daddy God, yee-haw, King Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They go with me wherever I go. They travel with me wherever I travel. And as Terry said, you have to hear the voice of God. You have to be in tune with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to get you through what's coming. Right? Because it's going to get rough out there. But it's going to get you through, because you were appointed for just such a time as this. You, every one of you in the room, and we're small here today, I don't care where you are in your faith. I don't care if you've got junk you've got to deal with. He come deal with it for you. If you bring yourself to him, he'll get your stuff cleaned up. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what guilt and shame and all that stuff you have. As you come to profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, he says, "I'll take you in just as you are. But I'm going to shake you up. I'm going to make you new so that I can set you on the road to save this generation that's dying. Because blow the shofar! Sound an alarm! The Lord God is coming back. King Jesus is coming back. Prepare now the way of the Lord. Not only for yourself, but for those around you that are perishing. Because once he comes, it's over. And your day of the Lord could be, I go to bed tonight, and I'm not declaring this, Lord. I declare 80, 90 years with strength. Have a heart attack and die, right? Your day came. The Lord came for you. It's over. You don't have a chance after that. So we ought to be preparing now. Holy Spirit, I'm going off a line here, right? But prepare you the way to the Lord. So don't get caught up in your sitting alone in the world, because you're going to be sitting alone. I'm telling you, in my secular job, I'm alone in an office of over 100 people. I'll bet you I can count on my hands the number of people that are Christian, because I'm in the secular world. And they don't even discuss with me some of the political things going on, because they know what I believe. And I'm not moved. Am I still on? I'm not moved by the worldview. And I'll be more than happy to share my opinion if you ask. I'm not going to put it on you. But if you want to have a debate with me about who Jesus is, if you want to have a debate with me about abortion and about all the other things that's going on in the world, if you want to have a debate with me about not praying for a president, if you want to have a debate with me with X, Y, and Z, I'd be happy to debate you. Well, you're wrong. Well, I know the truth because the truth is in me. The living God is in me, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right? I don't have to have anybody tell me because I have baptized with the Spirit. Right? You're not going to have stand before the throne room of God at the end and say, I didn't know. I've talked about this before, right? Because the word is in you, it's near you, it's written on your heart. If you've never picked up a Bible, you know. And then I just say, I bless you. You're going to need it. I don't get involved in discussions that are pointless. The Bible tells us not to do so. The ramifications are coming for the non-believer, but the upshot or positive end for the believer, and in case you didn't know, we win. We win. I don't care what comes upon the earth, we win. Victory is ours. So you may have some trials and tribulations, but if you hold fast until the end, you get the victory. We are victorious because of Christ Jesus, both now, not just for the end times, but now, and in the coming day of our Lord, and in the world to come. So what I suggest we all do is we shake off the heaviness of the world around us, stay the course in Christ, and look around. As I said, things are getting dark. And it says, and the word tells us in 2 Timothy, men are becoming lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, gossips, without any self-control, haters of good, calling good evil and evil good. We all have a story to tell about that, don't we? Reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although denying its true power. The word tells us to avoid such people as these, not even be associated with them, not be moved by them, not swayed by them, not to align with them, not to live our lives like them. Because why? We know the truth, right? We know the truth. We know who we are in Christ, and we are to hold fast to Him. Shake off the worldview of right and wrong and align ourselves with Christ, because He and He alone offers deliverance and salvation. I don't answer to anybody but Him. I don't answer to any man, woman, or child in the earth but Him. And if someone tells me to do something that's contrary to Him, I'm going to say, I'm so sorry. Not. It ain't happening. Well, you have to. No, I don't have to, because the only one I serve is the man upstairs. I don't know if any of you read it there. And again, I'm not being critical of another religion, but if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you ain't saved. It's as simple as that. It's the Bible. There's a school that is requiring the students to bow down to Allah as a assignment in school. Okay? And one of the children who happened to be Christian decided what? He didn't want to do it. And it went all the way. It's in the court system now, and the court doesn't want to take up the issue. And I'm not bringing it up again to hurt somebody or to say something bad about another religion. That's not my thing. But the reality is, as a Christian, if I was asked to do that, I'm not doing it. Why? Because I bow down to only one. I bow down to one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if someone tells me to bow down to others, sorry. Well, we're going to shoot you. Well, I guess I'm going to get shot. Because I ain't doing it. I know who I serve, and as Terry said in her testimony, I know where I'm going. If I get shot, I get to be with him. Right? I don't think he's done with me yet. I don't think he's done with any of you, but the reality is we have to be prepared for it. The Word tells us to avoid men such as these. We're not to love the world nor the things of the world. Scripture I'm talking about says, if anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And Scripture tells us the world is what? Passing away. With its lusts, but the one who does the will of God, not our will according to our limited understanding that often moves in contradiction to the Word of God, but the one who does the will of God, whether we agree with it or not, lives forever. I don't ever hear Daddy telling me, this is what I say, and I say I don't agree with it, and he says, oh, okay, don't do it. Right? Does your natural father do that when you're growing up? No. If Daddy tells me to do something according to his word, I ought to do it. I don't have a conversation, well, I don't agree with you. He don't care. He tells us to do what's in his word, and as a natural father will discipline their children. Why? For their safety, right? We have another case, and I happen to work in the court system, this is why I have these stories. Another case where a mother says her son is a girl, and they're going to perform, and she wants him to start taking replacement therapy. 7 years old. 7 years old. It's in the news right now. And the dad in Texas is arguing that he doesn't want that to be done. Now, I don't know about you, and again, I'm not judging anybody except those in the church, right? Because we're supposed to be separate from the world. But as a Christian, I have a problem with that, right? A seven-year-old making a decision about whether he or she should be male or female, and a parent going along with that or encouraging that. It's the way of the world right now. In the beginning, male and female, he created them. I don't have a right to tell Daddy God what I feel. I have a right to say, I'm going to choose to follow you or not follow you. That's the way of the word for the Christian. The world, I don't judge them. Do what you want. I ought to be spreading the light of Christ into the world, but ultimately we all have free will. The world's passing away, the lust of the flesh, and we have to decide. But the one who does the will of God, whether we always agree with it or not, lives forever. Remember, he is the sovereign, which means he's the self-existent, self-sufficient, all-knowing God, and your opinion doesn't hold squat with him if it's against his word, because he can't violate his word. Right? And he knows what he's doing, whether we agree with it or not. He knows what's right and wrong for us, and if we do something wrong, he's going to discipline us. He's going to give us a spiritual spanking. Why? To get us back on the right course so we're not lost for an eternity, just like my natural daddy did. I didn't like it when I got spanked. Did you? Wait till your dad comes home. You're getting spanked. I only did it a couple times. Then I learned Daddy would actually spank me. And same thing with Daddy God. You do something that he doesn't want to do, repent of it. He doesn't owe us an explanation about anything. He says, obey, I obey, and it's set in my heart. Doesn't mean a hill of beans if I agree or not, if his way doesn't make me feel good or not. You get the picture. From 1 John 2:15, it says, our bodies are members of Christ. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. We are to flee immorality, and we know the world is full of it today. Flee it as fast as you can. We have been bought with a price. We are to glorify God in our body. If he tells me in his word that I'm not to do this or that, I ought to get myself aligned to that word, and regardless of what the world around me is saying, because it is evil, or there's evil within it, and it's fading away. Just let's say things aren't going to go so well for those that are living evil. Now, don't walk out of here and say, oh my God, I'll never be perfect. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. We're walking in the flesh. We're going to stumble and fall, make mistakes. He understands that. But the Christian's going to repent when they come to the knowledge that they've made a mistake. Whereas the world is flat out sinning right in the face of God, and they don't care. Right? That's what I see. I'm just telling you what I see out there. Right? And as the body of Christ and as ministers, we have to preach the word. We can't sugarcoat it. Oh, it's okay. And oh, we're so accepting of everything that's going on. That ain't the daddy I serve. Daddy tells me to speak the truth in love to save a lost and dying generation, because this is temporal. To be with him is eternal. And I don't want anybody separated from him. Now, history is a good teacher in regard to disobedience to God and rejection of his word, and the Rhema word, which is the Holy Spirit revealed word, even that much better a teacher concerning disobedience, but also repentance and restoration and the outpouring of grace and mercy that repentance and restoration afford in Christ Jesus. So today I want to just briefly look at the book of Joel, who is a minor prophet. In other words, there's a number of minor prophets in Old Testament scripture. It doesn't mean their word was less important. It means it's a small book in the Old Testament versus the major prophets such as Isaiah. But it's the prophet Joel, and a prophet is someone who's sent to do what? Release the word of the Lord. Are the prophets still in existence today? You better believe it. We all can hear the voice of God, but some have a calling to very specifically look at a person and release a word over that person that leads them to Christ. And ultimately, a prophet is going to lead someone to Christ. They may bring a word of correction to get you moving in the direction of Christ. They may bring you a word of encouragement. In the case of Joel, God was bringing him to send a word, okay? He was a minor prophet. He was telling his people through the prophet 100 years or more, even before Christ was born. It was revelatory for them at the time, of course, but also revelatory for what's coming concerning the world today and the return of Christ if we have an ear to hear by the Spirit of God. Because in his word, it did and even now does continue to speak to us, to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And if God is for us, we have to understand God is for us if we have an ear to hear and a spirit to obey. It isn't about us or about our flesh. We have to ask ourselves, have we got Jesus? Now, concerning the book of Joel, it was a divided kingdom of God's people at the time. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And this was the southern kingdom called Judah. And the southern kingdom, and Joel was sent to Judah, to God's people there, because of sin in the land. A devastation of locusts had come upon the land. Does it sound somewhat familiar to what's going on today? Things stirring up, happening in our nation because of sin. All right, so he sent Joel, the prophet. Devastation of locusts. And the word of the Lord came to Joel. And by the way, the name Joel, interesting enough, means Jehovah is his God, or the Lord is God. So he sent this guy named Joel. Do you think that's a coincidence? I don't think so. Jehovah is my God, right? Jehovah is my God. And he said, go to my people. The Lord is God, and Joel was God's spokesperson to his people living, who at the time were living in sin. And I'm not talking about the occasional sin we all fall subject to. I'm talking about a lifestyle of sin that was going on in Judah. Blatant disobedience to God's will and his ways, subject to the intervention and wrath of God. But he's a loving God, right? So he's going to go warn his people. A loving God's going to discipline his people, and he was disciplining them by bringing these locusts, right? He doesn't ignore what can harm his children, and in the case of willful and unrelenting sin, the punishment of eternal separation from him. So he went to him. And Joel says, hear, O elders, and listen, all inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or in your father's day? Tell your sons about it, and let your sons tell their sons, and their sons the next generation. What the gnawing locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. And what the swarming locust has left, the creeping locust has eaten. And what the creeping locust has left, the stripping locust has eaten. In other words, God's judgment for sin, unrepented sin, had come upon the people, even God's chosen people, those professing to be his own, turning their backs on him. And he says to the people, it's time to, hear this, wake up. And we ought to be telling those around us today, if you ain't serving Jesus, it's time to wake up. The day of the Lord is at hand. Wake up! Look around. Believe it or not, God's speaking the same thing to our very own nation today and to all the nations of the world. Awake up before it's too late. Awake, drunkards, and weep and wail, all you wine drinkers. on account of the sweet wine that is cut off from your mouth in Joel's day, and things to be cut off in ours. Joel was writing just after a great swarm of locusts had stripped Judah of all vegetation, and the locusts invaded not for a couple of days. It was years. It was years, and it destroyed everything in the land. Okay? And it was God that sent it. Oh, but God's loving. Yeah, he's loving. He loves you so much that he's going to send locusts to discipline you to get you on the right track. Okay? And that's what he was doing in Joel's day. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion. It has fangs of a lioness. It has made my vine, a waste, and my fig tree splinters. It has stripped them bare and cast them away. The grain offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn, the ministers of the Lord. The field is ruined, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined, the new wine dries up. Now there was a devastation of locusts upon the land, and Joel was called and sent to say, "Awake, beloved." And I believe everybody in the room is awake, okay, because we're the body of Christ. But if you aren't, awake. And then he says, "Be ashamed." I pray about our nation every day. I shouldn't say every day, but I try to pray about it in the morning. My prayers start up in the morning as I'm driving to work. I'm blessing my family. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over them. I'm decreeing and declaring health and safety to those that are struggling. And I lift up the nation, right? I lift up the nation. And I don't care who's the president, President Obama, President Trump, President who, I pray for the president, because every government is set up by God's direct or his permissive will. He'll use good kings and evil kings. I don't care. I pray for our nation because God's word tells us to pray for leadership and those in authority. It doesn't say I have to agree or disagree. It says pray for the local governments, all that other stuff, right? Awake and be ashamed. And I'm ashamed about what's going on in our nation today, in the world today, that's contrary to God's will. Rejoicing has dried up from the sons of man. Where's the joy when sin abounds and devastation comes upon us? Then Joel tells the people, so he's told them, wake up, be ashamed, and gird yourself with sackcloth and lament. In other words, repent. Awake, be ashamed, repent. And then he says, Joel interprets the locust invasion as a punishment for Judah's sins, and he calls on the people, fourthly, return to the Lord quickly. Okay? Now, sometimes I have to do that in my life because, contrary to what my wife thinks, I'm not perfect. So, I have to get before the throne room of God when I've sinned. We all sin, right? But I know enough to say, okay, I shouldn't have done that because that Holy Spirit, right? He convinces you of your, he doesn't condemn you, he convicts you of your sin, and you got to go repent. I had a problem with an employee a couple weeks back, and I did something I shouldn't have done. You know, I wasn't myself. I was angry. And so what did I do? So, you know, for me, the Holy Spirit comes on and he won't relent. He spoke to me all weekend about what I did, what I said. And guess what I had to do? I had to make it right because I sinned. So I went to the employee on Monday and I said, I owe you an apology. Right? Because I'm a man of God. I didn't do it for show. I didn't do it for any other reason. Then I know I'm a man of God, and the Holy Spirit all weekend long wouldn't let it go. He kept bringing, I couldn't relax. He said, you need to go and tell that person you're sorry, because I'm human and I made a mistake. So that's what I did. So return to the Lord, lest something worse happens. Salvation and drought and all this other stuff were going on. But God demands true repentance, right? They did that stuff where they, you know, put dirt on their face and the whole sackcloth thing. But he wants you to rend your heart and not your garments. In other words, forget the meaningless rituals and all that stuff and truly repent, right? And he says that because he's holy, we're to be holy. He tells us he's chosen us out of the world and so forth. So starvation and drought had come upon the land. Joel instructs the people to cry out to the Lord for the day. Now back then, the day of the Lord was God's impending punishment then, but the day of the Lord for us is the returning of his son Jesus as Lord and Savior. So we're looking for towards that, right? Here in the earth now. All sorts of things are going to happen in the earth before Jesus returns. Some of it's already happening, right? But we have to be in alignment now. We have to be in alignment. So if we are in sin, right, he's sounding an alarm. That's why we did the shofar. He wants you to be ashamed if you have done something, but repent. and then he wants you to return to the Lord as the body of Christ. So we need to cry out to him because of that day coming. God, through Joel, promised to bless and protect his people when they repented and returned to him. He said, deliverance is promised. He said, then the Lord will be zealous for his land and will have pity on his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I'm going to send you grain, new wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied and full with them, and I will never make you a reproach among the nations again. And in the end time, he's going to put everything back in order. And where are we going to be? In the heavenly Zion, right, which is the heavenly mountain of the Lord. Zion was a mountain in Jerusalem where King David built, right, and had his city. And Jesus is coming back to reestablish the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly Zion, where you and I will spend an eternity with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. And then he says, if you do that, I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten. And I believe that happens in the earth now. We cry out for the things we've lost. And I've talked about the things going on with my daughter and how we cry out and cry out and cry out. And the Lord will make up if we what? Hold fast to him. Believe in him. Trust in him. Don't let. So I'm back in that chair again as I end this, right? Talking to you about what's going on in the world today. Lots of bad stuff happening out there. But it's not gloom and I'm not talking gloom and doom for you because I'm joyful, right? I'm happy. I'm singing. Why? Because I know who I am. He set me in that chair. I'm seated in authority, right? I'm seated in authority in heavenly places with Jesus is what he said when you turn in. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. And so when I'm walking in the earth as led by his Spirit, I have the most powerful power source in the world, in the universe, anywhere. It's Jesus going with me. And so when everybody's yelling at me and saying, you're full of this and you're not right and on, and everybody's against me, he's going to, and the same thing with you today, he's going to expect you to stay with him in the chair, to be seated with him, right? Because if you aren't seated with him, you're not going to survive what's about to come, right? And it's coming. And I'm not bringing gloom and doom. I'm saying it's coming, and you were set for just such a time as this. God doesn't make mistakes. He created you for, you were born for this specific time. So you need to stop looking at what you aren't and start looking at what you are. And if you got unrepentant sin in your life, confess it. Truly confess it, repent of it, so you can start working to advance the kingdom of God in the earth for the ones that are lost. Because they're out there saying, it's okay, God. God's okay with me doing this. Oh, God's love. God's love. God is okay if I'm in a sinful relationship. He's okay if I'm doing this and that and the other thing. No, he's not. That's the devil talking. He's not okay. And while that was for that time, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and always. His word never fails, never changes. If he said it was wrong back then, newsflash, it's wrong now. He doesn't change. The world changes. Every generation changes. And if you look at history now, the world's trying to wipe out history. Did you notice? We're going to take down any statue that's offensive. We're going to take down anything that was bad. We learn from history, right? We learn from history. God's children ought to walk in love, first and foremost. You ain't going to save anybody. Not that you're going to save them. The Holy Spirit is. But you're not going to help anybody if you're walking in hatred. And I'll give one other story. I was walking down on State Street, Madison, because I work downtown Madison. And there were a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses talking, young girls talking, sitting there talking. They're outside of Walmart. And all of a sudden, this gentleman came, apparently professing to be a man of God. And the first thing he says to them, you're sinning. That's what he says to them. Now, I was busy. I had to get back to work, so I didn't stop. But what I should have said, I should have turned around and just said, why are you pointing out their sin when, they have that stick in their eye, but you have a plank, as Matthew says. Remove the plank first, right? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. So we have this religious spirit coming on. I'm going to tell you. Now, yes. What they're believing is not going to get them to heaven. But how would Jesus have approached it, Terry? He would have came to them in love. Listen to what I would have listened a little bit. What they said, I want to tell you about Jesus. you know, and whatever. But this guy was, that's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is going to come to you in love. And when called upon to do so by the Holy Spirit, you're going to bring a word of correction if that's what the Lord tells you to do. Especially in the church, we're not the judge of the world, although we impact the world, right? So we got to be mindful of the fact that he may send us into the world. But the reality is, we ought to do it in love and then bring what the Holy Spirit tells us to bring. Now, very quickly, the coming day of the Lord, how will we know? See to it that no one misleads you, according to Matthew, for many will come in my name, saying I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. And then it says, see that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end, for nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Everybody, I see people, peace, 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 peace. And I want to say, yes, we want peace, but the reality is there ain't going to be peace in the end. All right, nation, the word tells us nation's going to rise up against nation. We ought to be prepared for it. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you and be hated of all because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise. So he's telling us there are still prophets in the earth. They'll arise and mislead many because lawlessness is increased and most people's love will grow cold. Immediately after the tribulation in those days, the sun will darken, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall, so on and so forth. But how do we know Jesus? How do we really know it's Jesus? Because he's coming through the clouds. So if someone says to you, Jesus, if someone comes up to you today, I'm Jesus. Nah, I don't think so. Why? You didn't come up through the clouds. And anywhere you are on the face of the earth, you're going to see him. That's how you know Jesus. He's coming. Lion of the tribe of Judah is coming through the clouds, and when he comes, you're going to know him. And all those people that are telling you you're crazy because of your faith in Jesus Christ, and he was just a man, and he was not the Messiah, and I don't believe in this, and I don't believe in that, you will. Trust me, you will. Because he's coming to judge vengeance and righteousness, but for you and I, it's not a gloom and doom message today. It's a message of hope to stand fast, come what may. Tough times are going to come. My life, and everybody in here can say, it ain't been easy. I've had a lot of bad things happen to me, and I still do. And I cry out, like Terry said, it's not always easy because I'm in the flesh, but again, I know who I am. And it's all going to work out good. It may not work out the way I want. It may not feel good at the time. But it's all going to work out good. I know that Jesus is coming back. Right? So I ought to prepare myself now. If you're not prepared, start to prepare yourself. Get things covered under the blood. Today is a new day. Whatever it is, it's a new day, new beginning for you. Go to the Lord. Confess it, repent of it, and then say, Lord, what do you want to do with me? Because it's getting dark out there, and I want to make sure. I had a dream. I'm not going to share it with you again. What hell's like, that dark room. Everybody says, oh, who cares? I'm going to go to hell and be partying with having a good time. No, that's not what hell is. It's going to be a dark space where you'll cry out. No one's ever going to hear you. You'll be by yourself. That's what I got a vision of. Whether it's right or not, it's not biblical. I'm just telling you what the Lord revealed to me. It's not going to be a pleasant place, and you're never going to get out of there. I don't want anybody to go there. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, Jesus is my Savior. We have to endure till the end. There's going to be trials and tribulations, but he tells me not to fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He tells me the very hairs on my head are numbered. He knows me, and I am not to fear because I am valuable to him. And if I confess him before men, as I'm doing so now, he confesses me before Daddy when I need him. Now, what he tells us in the darkness, we are to speak in the light, and we are to proclaim what has been whispered. That's why he woke you up in the darkness, because he wants you to shout it out in the light about what he's doing in your life so others can be saved, and he's going to do it for all of us in the room. He will whisper in your ear in all sorts of different ways. We have to be ready to receive it and not say, oh, this is just me. If God talks, you ought to listen. But the Lord is a refuge and strength for his people and a stronghold to the sons of Israel. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. The day of the Lord is coming. Do you feel alone today? Praise God. He's with you. Always. That chair, I'm not alone ever. What's going on in my own life with my child? What may be going on with you with cancer, finances, loss of spouse? Stay seated right here. It doesn't look very pleasant, right? But he's with you until the end of the age. And he says, if you hold fast, if you endure till the end, if you walk with me, that means believe in me, trust in me, obey me, you're going to be fine. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Go in the peace of the Lord. Amen.